Welcome to Gracious Words. Gracious Words is taken from the weekly women's Bible study taught by Cheryl Broderson at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.
We behold your glory, God, in the face of Christ. It shows us who you are.
On today's program, we'll look at the necessity of God's grace in our lives. It is the foundation that sustains us through life's trials, offering strength, endurance, and understanding in every circumstance. Here is part two of Cheryl's message titled, Grace Will Get Us There.
You know, I say sometimes, Lord, I've lost my car keys. You know everything. You know my down city and my uprising. You're acquainted with all my ways. Will you tell me where I put them? And he always does. He is so faithful. But he would need to remember all. Now, I think Paul talked a lot. Paul says, remember all that I told you. You're like, did you tell me something? Do you ever have that? Like, remember what I said? You said something, Brian, and I know it was really edifying. And it was so good. He would need to remember all that he had heard and learned. He would need to pass those lessons on and in order to faithful men. Faithful men. How was Timothy to know who was faithful and not faithful? He would need grace. He would need grace to discern who the faithful men were, men that would listen, men that would treasure it, men that would hold fast to it, and men who would pass it down to others. But committing it to others, just that act of committing all the things that Paul had said and all that Timothy had learned about God, committing it, teaching it, imparting it to others would take grace, not only to teach it, but you know, it takes an atmosphere of grace for someone to receive instruction. I don't receive instruction if somebody is arrogant. I'm too busy thinking about how arrogant they are. You know, if somebody's like, you know, I hate finger-pointing Bible studies. You and you and you and you need this and you need that. I do not like those Bible studies. But when the pastor gets up there and says, don't we all need grace? And I'm like, you're my buddy. You're my friend. I will listen. When I feel loved, I will listen. But when I feel that there's competition, when I feel that there's another spirit, I won't listen. I won't receive. But the atmosphere of grace, like teaching Sunday school, when you ask a question and the kids get it wrong, you don't go, you aren't listening. No, you go, that's a really great answer. But Disneyland was not the answer I was looking for. And you lead them to the right answer because you want them to keep talking. You want them to keep listening and answer you back and learn. And so you're working with them. The atmosphere of grace will draw you out. So you're never afraid someone's going to go, that was a stupid answer. You're not afraid of being demeaned or humiliated by asking a question. Did you ever have one of those teachers that you were so afraid to ask a question? I did. Mrs. Tuttle. She was so scary. I still remember her. It was second grade. She was terrifying. You would ask a question, she'd be like, I mean, just, you know, you never knew if she was going to say, good question, or, you stupid idiot, I just said that 10 minutes ago. Weren't you listening? And so I never asked questions. I was too scared. And I didn't do well in second grade. By the time I was in third grade, I loved that teacher. She was so nice. They wanted to skip fourth grade with me and put me right in fifth. It was the teacher. It was the teacher. It was not my smartness. The teacher had such grace and fun in the classroom. I was willing to listen and learn. Grace puts a learning environment, grace and love. We need grace so we can give grace. We need grace so we can act in grace. We need an environment in our houses of grace. We need a grace environment that people don't come in and go, oh, do I have to take off my shoes? Oh, I see your floors are clean. Are you sure you want me? You're like, yeah, it's grace. Can't you see my grandkids have already been in here? Everything's wrecked in my house. There's already a hole in something, somewhere, any place. Just don't look closely. But you're welcome in at any time. An atmosphere of grace is the best atmosphere to learn in. So Timothy would need to be strong in the grace of God so he could remember, so he could discern, so he could commit. Timothy would need grace to endure hardship like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Grace helps us to endure. We get through hardship. Again, like the song said, through many dangers, toils, and snares. Paul knew what hardship was, and he did it. He endured by the grace of God. This is the voice of experience that is talking to Timothy. Have you ever had one of those days that you didn't know if you were going to make it through? Ever have one of those days where you're looking at your week and you're like, Lord, I don't know if I can make it this week. I don't know. I've had weeks where I didn't know if I could get out of bed or put one foot in front of the other. I didn't know. I remember having surgery, and they come into your room and they say, okay, it's time to stand up. You're like, no, I'm not supposed to stand up. I just had surgery. Yep, it's time to stand up. No. Yes, and walk. No, I don't. Did you see what surgery I had? I think I'm supposed to be in bed for like a month, and you're just supposed to feed me. And they're like, nope, you're going to get up and walk. And then, you know, you're walking with your liquids, right? The fluids that are going in your body. I call that thing that you have to walk around with, Norman. And so, you know, you have to walk around with Norman everywhere you go. And they're like, nope, you can do this. And you just need grace. You need grace. Recovery takes grace. I've had so many times. I remember after my dad died, I was like, Lord, I'm not going to make it through this day. I don't know how. I don't know how I'm going to make it through tomorrow. I don't know how to do life without my dad. I've never had to do life without my dad. He's always been this constant. And then with my mom, when she was getting sicker and when she was moved to Oceanside, I don't know how I'm going to do life without my mom, without being able to call. But grace comes in. The grace of Jesus Christ comes in and fills those deficits. I've had sometimes so much pressure on me to write and to get deadlines. And you're thinking, I can't make this deadline. I just had that with taxes. Lord, I even have somebody that helps me with my taxes, and I'm always dreading taxes. I'm always afraid Uncle Sam is just after me for something. There's a grace that comes through Jesus Christ that puts you on autopilot. All I know is that I'm not doing it. It's Jesus doing it through me. It's Jesus hugging people that have said horrid things about me. It's Jesus telling them that I love them. It's Jesus. He's doing through me and using my body as a weapon of righteousness, as Paul says in Romans chapter 6, to work his work. And all I've done was strengthen myself in the grace, knowing that God can do what Cheryl can't do. God is not limited. He can still do it, move my limbs, giving me the right words to say, speaking through me. God's grace will get us through hardship. Grace would keep Timothy from getting entangled in the wrong battles or struggles. A good soldier doesn't get entangled with the minutiae of civilian life. A good soldier is always seeking to please his company's commander. So grace reminds us that our allegiance is owed to the great grace giver, Jesus. Remember, Paul had told Timothy, Timothy, do not get entangled with those conspiracy theories and those fables and those endless genealogies. Don't get involved in that kind of stuff. Stay away from it. So grace would keep us aligned in our allegiance to Jesus. Timothy would need grace to continue to heed the instruction of the Lord, verse 5. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Timothy would need endurance, perseverance, discipline, and spiritual exercise. And anyone who's done an exercise class knows this takes a lot of grace. I think I've told you this before. I used to go to the hardest exercise class when we lived in Vista with two of my closest friends. The woman who taught our exercise class had taught Marines in Hawaii on the base, and she did our exercise class. Her name was Ruth. Her husband knew how to, he taught the Marines how to kill, murder, you know, take down with their bare hands, and he knew 120 ways, at least 120 ways, not to leave your lover, but to get rid of your lover. And I remember she would do this exercise class, and we didn't even know if we were going to make it through. I was in my 20s, and I was just like, no, I was in my 30s, but I was still dying. Doesn't matter if I was 20 or 30, I was dying. It was so hard, you know, the things that she made us do. And when we finished it, like, we're done, we're looking at each other. Okay, we probably burned off, like, I don't know, 1,000 calories. What did we do? We went and got sugar-free chocolate mochas, right? Sugar-free, right? Because we're going to be good, right? Sugar-free, non-fat chocolate mochas. And then they would say whipped cream, and we'd say yes. But that wasn't the end. There was a place called the Garden of Delights, but we called it the Garden of Grumpy Women because the two owners were grumpy, but they had the best pumpkin scones with caramel sauce. So we would get our mochas, and we would go get, and we would undo all the exercise. I'd do all of it. Like, just like, let's get those calories back as fast as we can. You know, we need those calories. So grace would give him the discipline, the spiritual discipline. Grace would help him to do what he needed to do with his allegiance being first to the Lord. Timothy would need grace to continue to heed, to practice what he preached. Timothy would need grace to practice what he preached. Verse 6, the hardworking farmer must be first to partake the crops. In other words, don't give to others what you won't eat yourself. So he was saying to Timothy, practice what you preach, literally. Don't require others to do what you do not practice. If you're not strong in the grace, you can't teach others how to walk in grace. You must be strong in grace. If you preach the gospel, you must live by the gospel. Grace would give Timothy the understanding he would need, verses 7 through 9. Grace is a lens in which to view others. God sees us through grace. The ministry, or the call on our lives and how we serve God. Grace is a lens to see our struggles and our circumstances. And grace is the lens by which we should see the Lord through his grace that was demonstrated especially to us through Christ Jesus on the cross. Grace gives us understanding of what is really going on in someone's heart. I've been talking to people that were so mean-spirited, and I'm thinking, oh, they are so mean-spirited. And God will say to me, they're hurting, and this is where they're hurting. Tell them you understand. Or I remember one time there was a person who was just blowing up, and I just wanted to get away. You know how it is? I just wanted to run the other way. And the Lord said, don't run. They need a hug, and I want you to tell them that you understand their fear. I'm like, they might take me down for that one, Lord. But I did. And all of a sudden, they just broke. Their whole demeanor changed. See, God knows what's really going in the heart. This is just a facade. God knows someone's heart. Grace gives us the understanding because grace waits. Grace is saying, what is really going on? Grace gives us understanding what's going on in our own heart. Why do I feel? Why am I acting this way? What is going on? Grace gives us understanding of what's happening in the church. Grace gives us understanding of what's happening in the world. And grace gives us understanding of what is happening in our own circumstances. Grace sees everything through the lens of Jesus, who is qualified as the Messiah, who is of the seed of David, the rightful king of Israel, the conqueror of death, and the whole theme of the Word of God and the gospel. This was the lens through which Paul viewed his present circumstances. Verse 9, though he was suffering as an evildoer, falsely accused, associated with criminals, considered a danger to society, chained, he could say, but the word of God was not chained. By grace, he could see that God's word was still at work. It's interesting that Paul calls the word of God in Acts the word of grace, or the word of his grace. Why? Because it's a grace story from cover to cover. We see that men and women do not deserve the love and the concern and the pursuit of God. God's word, his grace, continues to bring comfort no matter what we're going through, reminds us that he will get us through, minister to others, and saves life. Speaking of God's word not being chained, I want to read you something that I got this book in England years ago. It was I don't know when it was published, because if it goes beyond if it's older than 1920, it won't have a publishing date. But it was given to the person who got the book in 1917. That's all I know, like to so-and-so in 1917. But it's called Bible Wonders, and it's one of my favorite books in the whole wide world. But speaking of the word of God not being chained, it gives this illustration. Suppose there should come walking up the aisle of this church a man who had been living for over 1,800 years, nearly twice as long as Methuselah. And suppose we knew of him that he had been cast into the sea many a time, but could not be drowned. He had been thrown to the wild beast, but they never could devour him. He had been made to drink deadly poisons of different kinds, but they never did him any harm. He had been bound with strong chains, locked up in prisons and dungeons, but he always managed to shake off the chains and get out of the dungeons. He had often been hung till his enemies thought him dead, but when they cut him down, he sprung to his feet and walked away again as well as ever. Hundreds of times they had burnt him at the stake till there seemed to be nothing left of him. But the fires were no sooner out than he leaped up from the ashes, as well and as strong as he was before. He had been shot at. He had been stabbed. He had been cut into pieces. But the pieces came together again like little drops of quicksilver. His wounds healed up at once, and he was none the worse for all this hacking and cutting. How strange it would seem to look on such a man. Would it not be a great wonder to find him alive and well after all that he had passed through? It would be a wonder indeed. Yet, this is just the way we should feel towards the Bible. This is just the way in which the Bible has been treated. It has been burned and drowned and chained and put in prison and buried alive and torn to pieces and outlawed, and yet it has never, ever been destroyed. Here it is still, the same pure, precious Bible. The Word of God is not chained. It's not chained. Paul himself was enabled to all things for the sake of the elect by grace. Those salvation, the elect, those are the ones who would receive salvation. Salvation is in Christ and includes eternal glory. Isn't that incredible? This is where it's going. This is where grace is leading us to eternal glory, just like glory after glory after glory. I mean, just one beautiful sunrise after another. Glory and glory and glory. Paul mentioned and quotes a faithful saying, "For if we died with him, we shall live with him. If we endure, we shall reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself." This is grace. This is grace. If we live with him, if we die with him, we'll live with him. That's grace. If we endure, we'll reign with him. That's grace. But if we deny him, that's the only thing that can disqualify us from this incredible grace that is waiting for us, that will lead us. The only disqualification is if we deny the grace giver. If we turn away from the grace giver, there is no other source of grace. This is grace. If we say, "I don't want to drink that, I don't want that," then there is no grace. This is the grace. He gives us eternal life for death. He gives us royalty for enduring by grace. And he remains faithful as do his promises. Even when we are unfaithful, he is still Jesus. He is still the grace giver. I wonder if this is a faithful saying that Paul sang in the Mamertine prison. You know, we know that when he was in prison in Philippi, it was his singing, his praise that was ministering to the prisoners, and that's how they heard the gospel. I believe that even in that Mamertine prison, as Paul is penning this letter, he's probably singing about the matchless grace of Jesus. No wonder Paul instructed Timothy to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Paul knew it. Paul knew that it was that grace that was sustaining him even in that place and would sustain him even in his execution. It would be God's grace. And we also need to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, strong in our reliance on God's grace, strong in our knowledge and acknowledgement of God's grace. Do you know? Are you informed about God's grace? Do you even know what it is? Could you explain it to somebody else? Could you teach it to six-year-olds? That's a big test. Strong in our practice of God's grace. Strong in our exemplifying and living out God's grace. We need to grow crops of God's grace and then feed others the grace of God. It is grace that will pull us through hardship. And as the song says, through many dangers, toils, and snares, you have already come. It's been grace that brought you safely this far. And it will be the same grace that will lead you to eternal glory. So be strong. Strengthen yourself in the grace that is in Christ Jesus.
Grace is God's limitless gift that strengthens, sustains, and empowers us through every challenge we face. Paul reminded Timothy and us that we don't have to rely on our own strength, but can depend on the grace found in Christ. In an atmosphere of grace, we can learn, grow, and pass on truth with love and patience. God's grace meets us in our struggles, carries us through hardships, and gives us the endurance to keep going. No matter what we face, His grace is always enough, leading us to victory and eternal glory. We hope you have been blessed by today's Bible study. For more information about the Gracious Words radio program and the teaching ministry of Cheryl Broderson, please visit our website at graciouswords.com. Coming up next time on the Gracious Words program, we'll look at the importance of discernment as we continue our series, Letters to Lead, Live, and Love By, in the second epistle to Timothy with Cheryl Broderson. We do hope you make plans to join us. Again, for more information, please visit our website at graciouswords.com. This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.